Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have won the lottery. Yes, that's the message. We all are waiting for the Virginia Lottery to call us up and tell us those little numbers we play on the side of all matched up, all seven of them or whatever it is these days. And we have now won the Mega Millions or the Powerball, or I forgot how many games they've got going now. Because let's admit it. Wouldn't we really all like to have that temptation of being rich and having money? Because we all think it's going to make our lives better and do well. Well, people do studies on those things seem to indicate that a lot of people who win the lottery have problems, not pleasures. It complicates their lives because money and possessions don't make you happy. They'll do a number of things for you, as we can all attest, but they cannot make you happy. So instead of that, I would like to present what I like to call the Twilight Zone version of today's gospel. Exhibit A, one Simon called Peter. That is because he was a little bit rocky in the head and a little bit of a pebble, who wins the jackpot, wins the lottery. One day, he's there, he does a favor for Jesus, and bam, suddenly he and his partner, because he was not a little guy out there with just a fishing pole, he was a fishing operation. Gather enough fish to load both their boats till they're getting ready to sink. Peter has now won the jackpot. He could sell off all those fish to the Romans who lived around him and so forth, retire, maybe have his own, you know, little reality show, Simon Says, you know, maybe that'd be a catchy title for it. Maybe he would also be able to write his memoirs, How My Good Favor Turned My Way. He could even run for office now, you know. He has all the credentials. And that's what we expect, isn't it? We think that winning the lottery, because moderns don't like to think we're superstitious, but we are, that that would be a sign that God was blessing us, that God loved us. And if things were happening bad, we would say, what did I do to deserve this? Even though we know it says in Scripture that God makes the rain fall on both the innocent and the wicked. That God is not up in heaven just picking out little things to bless and praise us for. That the blessings we do receive are opportunities. They are blessings that we might bless others, as Abraham was told in the Old Testament. And yet, superstitiously, we all think that way. And we would expect Simon to do that, wouldn't we? We would expect Simon to cash in on his great moment here, get out of the fishing business, live the retired life, right? But the gospel is more like the Twilight Zone, and there is a new Twilight Zone show coming on, so it's still relevant to talk about it, than we think. Because that's not what Simon does. Did you notice what Simon does? Two things in this story. The first one is he falls on his knees. He doesn't go, God, you finally recognize what a great guy I am and you bless me. No, his sudden good fortune makes him to realize how inadequate he is. It has the other result, sort of like our first lesson, and that's why they're combined here, is that it makes him realize, I'm not worthy of this. Isn't that counter, sort of Twilight Zone-y, to our normal way of thinking that we get stuff because we earned it and deserved it? Because the gospel says all that we have is a blessing. And when we are blessed, it's not supposed to make us feel good about ourselves. It's to make us realize how much God loves us and what opportunities we have to share it with others. Like I said, Simon already had a lot of skills. I mean, he ran a fishing business. You know, he was probably fairly well off in his community. If he had a couple boats and a couple crews, you know, as we read from other stories, he was doing pretty good. So he wasn't like he was that poor, but this sudden pursuit of wealth doesn't make him think, I've got it made. Instead, it reduces him to the opposite reaction. Oh my God. Literally. Because he has on this day encountered the living God. And he knows enough about Scripture to know that when you encounter the living God, God has a way of not leaving us alone, but calling us to service and action, asking us to use our talents. And he does so with Simon, because he tells him, you will no longer be fishing for fish, but you'll be fishing for people. Now, that's a cute saying, and we like it, and that's kind of fun to have around. But it's a reminder that he was fishing before and fishing afterwards. In other words, God's going to take Simon's talents. his talents to lead, be able to speak because he commanded a crew, his organizational abilities, and put them to a new use. It wasn't like that time was wasted before. It's like, Peter, you're through with all this stuff, do something else, but I'm going to use what you've already learned towards something else. And it says, it put him that he left everything immediately. It's like he got the lottery check and he dropped it instead of holding on to it. He left immediately. Somehow Peter, despite his bumbling and stumbling, and we know Peter is, you know, sort of Mr. Hoof and Mouth. He has a habit of speaking first and thinking later in the Gospels. But he had enough sense to recognize that he had come in grips with something greater than himself. Something that was going to make his life have meaning and purpose. And that was worth more than all the value of the fish. Worth more than winning the lottery is the fact that Simon Peter had been touched and called by God. That is the message for us this day too. Yeah, we'd all like to win the lottery. And if we're honest, we'd like to have all the wealth we have. But it will not make us happy. It does not give us purpose and meaning. That comes from the call through our baptisms that we started the service tonight. He's a reminder that we don't have to win the jackpot. The jackpot's been given to us. That despite our sinful nature, like Peter and the prophet in the first lesson, God calls, claims, uses us for good. For the good of others, and makes us able to do more than we recognize we can do ourselves. Simon's not just a fisherman and being able to make a living, but a person who has the ability to capture and lead other people. And he led by example. His life did not suddenly become easy. It actually got a little more worse as you read the Gospels. He got a lot of trouble. He got himself in and out of it. He struggled through his life. And if the tradition is true, after proclaiming forgiveness and telling people to have faith in Christ, he was crucified upside down in Rome. That's the tradition. So it's not like he got it easy. But from that moment on, his life had purpose and meaning. He was involved in something greater himself. He was no longer just Peter taking care of his family and friends. He was Peter, a blessing to the world. This is what we have won the lottery already about in baptism. It's not about our material wealth. It's not about those blessings that we sometimes spend far too much time and energy on to where they become possessing us. It's about the fact that we are involved in the greatest all enterprises of all time. God's reclaiming his people and bringing about his kingdom. I read, and I'm sorry to bring this up, but it just hit me as a contrast, about a church down in Virginia Beach a couple years ago that made an offer that if you gave money to the church and you weren't materially blessed that year, you could have your money back. It wasn't Lutheran, by the way, or Brethren, or thankfully, none of us, because that's not the gospel. Jesus never promised. Jenny, would you like to be in charge of that person? He never promised us that he was going to bless us with things. He promised he would bless us with his presence and that our life would have purpose and meaning. That we would be involved in something greater. If you mean those kind of gifts, yeah, the money you give to the church is a solid guarantee. But it's not a promise of ease. It's a promise of purpose. It's not a promise of laying on the sidelines. It's a promise of being involved in the greatest adventure you could ever be part of. But notice something else. Okay, one more. That in another twist of the Twilight Zone, if you're familiar with the series, or probably the new one the same way, there are always little details you don't find until you look at it a couple of times. This is one of them. It took me a couple of readings of this gospel to recognize. Do you notice when all this happens? It happens after Simon Peter and James and John have worked all night long and caught nothing. They probably weren't too happy about being fishermen that early morning, you know, when Jesus was out there teaching, because they had one of those days that we all have where you wonder if the work you're doing even makes sense. They had fished and fished and fished and caught not a single one. It was at that moment that Jesus steps into their lives and encounters them and blesses them. This to me is a subtle little detail that reminds us that it's not about us and what we accomplish. It's about what God does through us. And therefore the promise is made that when we are visible signs of Christ in this world, when we practice acts of random kindness and whatever else we do, even if it doesn't seem to have any result, even if we have toiled all night, It's part of the process by which God is working. And that our efforts are never in vain when our efforts are led by God. They may seem that way to us. There may be frustrations and failures. The people in the first lesson have to go into exile, but they will be called back. Paul reminds us of the struggles he had becoming a follower of Jesus, but he was able. God never does anything that is wasted. It may appear that way to us. It may appear that we're just banging our head against the wall, working all night and earning nothing. But the promise is that even those moments that seem nothing to us are things that God will use to bring about his kingdom. Even our most futile moments in Christ are a blessing for someone, even if we never ever recognize it. That's the detail of the story I want to lift up to us too. It's a reminder about how God has blessed and uses us even when we don't know it. Maybe there are times in your life, I've been fortunate a couple times, where someone's come up to me and said, "Do you remember 15 years, 30 years, 40 years ago, whatever it was?" And I go, "No." "Well, you said something and it changed my life." I go, "I did." You know, I probably just mumbled something because I was having a bad day. Who knows what it was? But God uses it because it's about God. It's about God's power that comes to us in baptism. It's about God giving us the jackpot, the lottery of all time. It is about God at work through us so that even we people of unclean lips can speak the good news. Because you see, we've already won the jackpot. We've already won the lottery. We are God's beloved children. And we are empowered to go and be a blessing for others. That's the lottery of all time. Amen.